In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. At the first part of Luke's Gospel that we prayed, the narrative begins that he acknowledges many people have written Gospels. And you know, it was the Holy Church in about 180 A.D. that finally codified what is handed down to us, the books of the Old Testament, the 39 that the Protestants and Catholics and Orthodox share, and then for us, the Roman Catholic and the Roman Catholics, the Orthodox and the Roman Catholics, we have the second canon of literature.
You mean 367?
What? No, 182. We'll note that there is an objection in the congregation, and is correcting me and saying 367. But I have this number in my mind. I also know that 182 is the signifier for murder. What's that? Yeah, that's what I said. Well, anyway, I apologize. Because I'm a stubborn man, I'm still going with 182. But for those of you who are listening to this message, 367 is a viable alternative. Boy, oh boy, it's hard to think a lot of yourself after that. But it was the church that the Holy Spirit working within the church that made these choices. And so Luke is writing to a person who's called Theophilus, which means the lover of God, or one whom God loves. And insofar that you love God, and God loves you, you are all Theophilus. So it's written for you to know of a certainty. Because the gospel, after all, is not written for any one person, even though one person may be named. It's written for all who meet that criteria, whose heart is filled with the love of God. And he says this very clearly. He's going to write an orderly account. Because when you have love, but the Holy Spirit is not working within you, you have an effusion of emotion. You want to say great things. You've seen things that other people haven't seen. I don't think that the Apocrypha are not with, or, sorry, the Pseudographia. I don't believe that those things are necessarily wrong when they do not contradict something that is in Scripture. But the reason that they weren't included is significant. So, for example, when you see the Proto-Evangelion of St. James, and it talks about the infancy narrative of St. Mary, and you don't have to take that as an article of faith the way that you must when you're looking at Holy Writ. But at the same time, there are things in there that are very edifying. And again, there is a lot of Mariology that tends to support the things that are written in the Proto-Evangelion of St. James. So, be that as it will. Now, in the temple, there were two altars. One was the altar of sacrifice. This is where animals were slain for, the person would come in, you had committed a grievous fault. You put your hand on the head of a beast. And then the priest of the temple would would kill the animal, and the animal was slain for your sin. And then they had this branch, this hyssop, and it is dipped into the blood, and it is sprinkled on you, the way that I sprinkle water on you at the end of the service. And then you are ritually cleansed. Now, when Zechariah the priest was praying, he was not at that altar. He was at the altar of incense. And this is right in front of the Holy of Holies. And he is doing what? He is doing what everybody who comes to that position as a priest does. He's asking for the deliverer. He's asking for Christ. When will Christ come? When will you give us the one who will be what we have been waiting for and was foretold in all of the prophets? When will this come? And such things as that. He is the voice of Israel, begging, pleading. And so what happens? The angel of the Lord appears to him, Gabriel. Now, if you look and see the dialogue the angel Gabriel has with Zechariah, it's remarkably the same as the dialogue that he has with St. Mary. And there isn't any indication that the priest said something wrong. He answered, you know, how is this going to be? I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. Right? St. Mary said, how is this going to be to me, seeing that I know not a man? It's the same kind of response, is it not? Yet there must have been something in his inflection, or it must have been that the angel Gabriel was able to know what was going on inside him, that he doubted. So it was told him, all right, you will not be able to speak until these things that I have told you are fulfilled. And he was told he was going to have a son, and not just any son. You know, there's a whole litany of people who were barren, and then they gave birth to someone exceedingly holy. Think of Hannah and Samuel, the great prophet. Think of earlier, Sarah. Think of Rachel. So people barren, until this miraculous touch occurs. And John, the name that Zechariah was to give his son, it means someone in whom God has suffused with grace. So he says further, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Who wouldn't rejoice when you have a child that is filled with grace? This is not grace that is in imitation of God. This is grace that is given to somebody who can act as God acts, incarnationally, but who can act as God acts. I might do something that's graceful. I have my moments, whether you believe it or not. And it's only an imitation. It's not this kind that I'm speaking of. Well, although it begs certain questions, I'm not going to elaborate. And it also is written that he is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And you know this to be true because in the sixth month, when St. Mary went to visit Elizabeth, St. Elizabeth said, whence is this that the mother of my Lord will come to me? And as soon as The babe in my womb heard your voice. He leaped for joy. Because, of course, at that time, the Holy Virgin was also carrying the Lord inside of her. And when Zechariah was silenced, the petitions of the children of Israel about the Messiah were also silenced. They were also silenced. They spoke, they continued to speak, but the Lord did not hear them, because he had already sent his word, or was sending his word. And John the Baptist, 3 months the elder, 6 months the elder of Jesus Christ, would be the forerunner and the announcer. And Jesus is the living word of God. There would no longer be a materialistic sacrifice, but there would be a propitiate sacrifice that would be for all time, once and forever. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ became all that Israel had ever yearned for. And then he offered himself up for our sins. Before, it was a piecemeal kind of a relationship, one that, because the people were as they were in their state of development, and one because, you know, when you have a child and you're teaching the child to grow, there has to be a certain amount of pain that is in the child's life, so that when they are old, they are able to face the challenges that they meet. So in sacrificing things, it was hard. You remember Cain and Abel. Cain brought some vegetables as a sacrifice to the Lord. He cut some plants. I mean, they were probably really good looking. But his brother brought one of the first fruits of his flock, and it was accepted. And when Cain was downcast, the Lord said to him, or God said to him, if you do good, are you not going to be accepted? So we teach through these kinds of sacrifices very important lessons, and they have to come necessarily with a certain amount of pain, so that the beginning of our own sacrifice internally can take place. It's written that when his wife had conceived, she hid herself for 5 months. Well, she did so because for her, as an old woman, it was unseemly that she would take up again the habit of newlyweds. And so this was a problem. But slowly, over time, she felt the reality of her situation. And of course, you know, men and women many times can communicate without words. So I'm certain that her husband was able to say something to her, non-verbally, about what had occurred to him at the altar. Because how are you going to convince an old woman, maybe of 80 years of age, to do that which she had not done in perhaps 30 or 40 years? You got to say something, and it's got to be more than flowers. So now she was able finally to say, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me. What he has done is beautiful. What he has done is miraculous. What he has done for me is a saving of face. And she said, in the days when the Lord looked upon me, he took away my reproach from amongst men. Think about that. Somebody who has yearned so long. You know, you see the women in the church, it doesn't matter if it's their little kid that's running around. All the women want to pick up the little kids. Think about that. That never leaves a woman. Now imagine, you never had the chance to have that. Ever. And you watched everybody else around you. And you're thinking continuously, what's wrong with me? Am I not a daughter of the Lord? Why did he not treat me the way he treated all these others? Well, see, this is the meaning of the present, because when the Lord comes to us, he comes to us individually, not collectively. He comes to us individually, and when you are honest, you look inside yourself and you say, how come? I know myself. I know I'm not worthy. Why would you come to give me such grace? To raise me in the estimation of all of the heavens, this tenderness and this kindness towards human life. But such is the gift that we receive. Now we will develop this. You know, we have 4 out of the 5 weeks of Kiak in icons over here. I have ordered the last one. And this is when Zechariah beholds his son and in front of all of the people names his son. So he will carry a tablet saying his name is John. And it will be with his wife and John the Baptist and himself, and then the people in the background. This is what I ordered. We'll see what we get. Sometimes the iconographer has his own system. We will also see whether or not it's 367 or 182. I don't know. I'm not feeling on the top of my game today, so I apologize again. But thank God that we are here. And once again, I will tell you how happy I am being in this congregation with you, and how the trip that we have taken together for lo these many years is now beginning to build something concrete, and plaster and wood and glass. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, into the age of all ages. Amen.